Welcome to the Knoxville Christian Center podcast, where everybody is somebody and Jesus is Lord.
You know, the kingdom of heaven is, whether it looks like it or not, advancing against the evil one, against the kingdom of the devil. The law and the prophets ended with John the Baptist. Therefore, Jesus was ministering to people as the grace of God. He forgave sins without animal sacrifice. That should be a very strong clue right there. He was not operating under the Old Testament law. He never required any of the feasts or the legalism of the law for people to be healed, delivered, restored, or whatever. He just said, "Believe in me, the Son of God." What is that? That's the grace of God, and that's the new covenant. The Bible actually says, the Word actually says, that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus was on earth rescuing captives from the old slave master. And guess what? He's never stopped. He's still here and he's still doing it through us who will allow him to work through us. Under the leadership of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of heaven started advancing against evil. John 4:46, "Therefore he came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. There was a royal official whose son was sick and dying. He asked Jesus to come pray for him." Verse 49, "The royal official said to him, 'Sir, come down for my child before my child dies.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go, your son lives.'" I mean, the preacher don't have to come to your house. Can you say amen? He don't even have to come to the hospital. He's a man of God. He can get it prayed through no matter where he is. "Go, your son lives." The man, of course, you need more. I like to get several people praying for me, not just one. Can you say amen? The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started off home. That's faith. You get a word from God, you say, "Well, now I got it," and you go. That's what faith is. Faith is not wandering around in the dark. It's hearing from God and then acting on it. Be a doer of what you hear. His word was believing Jesus Christ. Because he believed, he acted on the word. Because I believe, I do certain things when I hear from God. Because he believed, he started home. Verse 51, "As he was now going down, his slaves met him, saying that his son was living. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better." That's the New American Standard Version. I try to pick the translation that's closest to the Greek and Hebrew. And this is, I think, right on the money. It says, "When he began to get better." Notice he asked, "When did he begin to get better?" It implies very strongly that the healing was gradual. You remember one case when Jesus prayed for the blind man. He said, I see men as trees walking, which meant his vision, he could see, but it was blur. And Jesus prayed again, and then he could see clearly. A lot of times we want our miracle yesterday. Sometimes it's gradual, and it takes a little time. You live by faith, and you let God do it the way he wants to do it, and you trust God. "Well, I thought I was being healed, but I guess I'm not." Well, quit guessing and believe. Believe he started something, he's going to finish. It was the same time Jesus gave him the word "go." They compared times, and they said it was exactly this time when Jesus said "go." When Jesus says "go," it's time to go. Jesus healed, delivered, and restored everyone to wholeness. He went about doing good and healing all. Wonder what that word "all" means. Let's just scratch our head and try to figure out, what does all mean? As far as I'm concerned, it means all. It means everybody. Jesus healed, delivered, and restored everyone to wholeness. Mark 1:23, chapter 1, verse 23. "Just then there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth?'" He says, "What business does demons and devils have with Jesus Christ?" And then they say, "Have you come to destroy us?" Well, what's the answer to that? Let's see. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. So you got a demon here preaching the gospel, and he's doing a better job than a lot of preachers. But the Lord didn't want a devil preaching the gospel. In verse 25, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." Amen. I don't need you telling people who I am. You come out, you devil. And he cast him out. You see, Jesus told demons, you can learn a lesson here, to shut up and come out. This is how we cast out demons. Not chit-chatting with them, and what is your name, you know, and all this silly stuff some so-called deliverance people put people through. I mean, Jesus didn't do it that way. People in the Bible didn't do it that way. They told them to shut up and come out, and that's the way you get people delivered. I'm not going to chit-chat with no demon. And this demon was even telling people that he was the Son of God. Jesus said, shut up and come out. He did. Jesus delivered him. Delivered that man from that demon. But what is the answer to their question? Have you come to destroy us? Well, let's look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. The answer is yes. Notice it says that he might destroy him. He came to destroy Satan, his demons, and their power over us by blotting out our sins. Look around the world. The devil has not been destroyed. It appears to me he's getting worse by the day. But his power's been destroyed over me because my sins have been blotted out. And because my sins are blotted out, he has no legal right to touch me. And when he tries to put strep throat on me or anything else, I have the right to say, I'm born again, I'm washed in the blood, I am the property of God, and you lying devil, you can't put anything on me because I'm going to go preach. Amen. And believe me, I do that about every day. I'm not preaching every day, but I'm doing something every day. Amen. And the devil's always working with this stuff. Well, it's Wednesday. You can have a little strep throat on Wednesday. No, I can't. I got to go to the victory group tonight. Devil's always trying to put something on me, and I'm not taking it. If you want to take it, that's okay. I'll pray for you. Whatever. I'll stand on my head for you, but I'm not taking it. Amen. So one of these days, that's what the devil keeps telling me, one of these days. I haven't missed preaching. Lord, forgive me if I ain't getting close to bragging, because I don't want to go to the hospital in the ambulance. You start bragging, you're going to wind up in intensive care if you're not very careful. Okay. But because of what the Lord has revealed to me here, I haven't missed preaching for 45 years in spite of some of your prayers. I haven't missed preaching for 45 years because of sickness. And I tell you that just to let you know, God's no respecter of persons. But this is the way you do it. You believe in the Son of God. And you believe in everything he says. Amen. Period. Jesus, and I didn't just start out yesterday. It took me all these years to get to believe in what I do. And thank God I live to be an older guy. I wouldn't have known very much. Can you say amen? I'm just praying I have more time to keep learning. Jesus was on a mission to drive back darkness and cast out Satan, and buddy, it was obvious. Look at all the people. He cast the devil out of and all the miracles he worked. You see, he came to transfer us from the power of evil to the power of God. Count me in. Luke 8:14, when Jesus came into Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever. If you got a mother-in-law and she's still alive and well, pray for her. Verse 15, he touched her hand and the fever left her just by one touch of the Holy Spirit anointing Jesus Christ. One touch and she was healed. Look, and she got up and waited on him. That's why he wants to heal you. So you can get up and get back to work. Well, Father God put that sickness on her. Well, then Jesus Christ was in rebellion against Father God. Because he took it off. Father put it on, God took it off. I don't think so. He said, I only do what I hear, and I only do what I'm told to do. Somebody say something. I said say something. Something. Because they be like crazy people. You're in the right place. Because he heard her, she was able to serve him. I'm sorry. Can you read my own notes? Because he healed her, she was able to serve him. Jesus wants to deliver from the spirit of infirmity, and that's what she had, and that's what others had, that it says plainly he delivered them. So he wants us to be delivered so we can fulfill our purpose in life. He wants us free from every stronghold, bondage, and addiction. Well, if that was true, people would never die. No, this is not preaching immortality. It's preaching that he wants you healthy and well while you live so you can serve him. And when it's your time to go, you're going to go. And when it's my time to go, I'm going to go. Matthew 8:16. But until then, I plan on being healthy and well and keep right on preaching. That's my plan.
Amen.
And I believe it lines up with the Word of God. Matthew 8:16. When evening came, you recognize this. It's a, I use a different translation to try to throw you off. The Amplified Bible, when evening came, they brought to him many who were under the power of the devil. Devil, you just get out of here. He wants to come in and try to create doubt and unbelief. No, you're not. Never. Get out. When evening came, they brought to him many who were under the power of demons, and he drove out the spirits with a word and restored to health all who were sick. Notice he drove out demons and devils first. Sometimes it's a spirit of infirmity. The lady that was crippled, it says she had, it was a spirit of infirmity, and when he touched her, the thing left her, and she stood up straight. And he restored to health all. Say all. Spell it. A-L-L. That's easy. One more time. A-L-L. Verse 17. And thus he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Why did he do that? Because he knew that's what God, Father God, wanted him to do. If Father God had made all these people sick, then Jesus, can't you see that? Then Jesus would have the will of God to take it off. But Isaiah, by the Holy Spirit, that says when the Messiah comes, he's going to take your infirmity. Isaiah 43, I quote it every time we serve communion. Verse, 3, 4, right in that area there, Isaiah 53. Truly hath borne our sickness and carried away our pains. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon him. And with his stripes were healed, made whole. Oh, the healing's not in the atonement. Listen, I didn't come to debate. I'm not reading debate notes. I'm reading the promises of God. It says, with his stripes, we're healed. Peter says, with his stripes, we were healed. I'm going with the promise. I don't care where you stick it in the atonement or where you're going to stick it. Can you say amen? I go with the promise of God. And if you want to be a theologian and explain away everything God has given us, you go right ahead. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep getting healed as long as God wants me to preach. Can you say amen? Verse 17, and thus he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He himself took in order to carry away our weaknesses and infirmities and bore away our diseases. That's Isaiah 53. This is the revelation God gave me. Matthew 8:16-17. The Lord spoke to me as I read that when I was fasting and praying 3 days. He said, do you believe I'm still here? Yes. Do you believe I'm still here to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy? You may want to answer this yourself. Do you believe he's still here to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy? This, the third question, do you believe? He said, do you believe I'm here to take your infirmities and your sicknesses? Do you believe it? Do you believe he's here to take your infirmities and your sicknesses? If you don't, you need to get in the Bible and find out what he says. And fast in prayer of the Word of God till you get your own word. Why? I'm going to tell you right now, God's no respecter of persons. He's a respecter of his word.
Amen.
Why did he give me this word? To deliver me from the spirit of infirmity, to deliver me from strip in all sickness so I could preach the gospel and turn people from deception to truth. That's why.
Amen.
And he's still here to do the same thing.
Amen.
For all. Jesus was on earth to provide for our every need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Everybody quotes that. Everybody believes that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. But they don't believe a single word of it. What does thou shalt not lack mean? You shall not lack anything. You need to live life and live godly. He's going to take care of you.
Amen.
Sure, you live in a demonized world. Sure, the devil's going to hit you upside the head with a 2x4 and a little bit of everything else. But at the same time, you can recover. Can you say amen? He's here to heal the brokenness. He's healed the hurts. He's healed to heal the curses the devil puts on us of sickness, disease, failure, and poverty, and inferiority. You live in a demonized world, and you need to understand that's what this message is about. Jesus Christ is here driving back the devil and his evil power. But you got to believe that the Son of God is here, and he's doing that. The Son of God is present in this world right now. He just needs a few people that will believe him and trust him and obey him.
Amen.
Jesus was on earth to provide for our every need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. You see, Jesus used Peter's fishing boat as a pulpit. When you give to God, he's going to take care of you. You can never hurt yourself by giving to God and obeying God.
Amen.
I said obeying God.
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. When Jesus rewarded Peter because he had used his boat as a pulpit. He was sitting on his boat preaching. Sound carries better over water. I mean, no, Jesus was God and he knew stuff. And so this time he's preaching from a boat. And Jesus rewarded him in Luke chapter 5, verse 5. Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. And so Jesus used his boat, and then he says, now take your boat, go right over there and drop your net. And Peter says, no offense, Lord. You're a carpenter. We're fishermen. And I'm telling you, there's no fish out here. Master, we worked all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the net. There is your faith. I don't say anything, but I'm going to do as you say.
Amen.
I'm going to believe your word and act on your word. I'm going to pray over your word till it becomes a revelation, no so in my heart. That's why we're told to meditate in his word day and night. Not just to waste your time. You're to meditate in the word day and night until it becomes revelation, faith, no so inside of you. When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners, that's James and John, in the other boat, for them to come and help them. And they came and filled up both of the boats so that they began to sink. How many want Jesus to be your partner?
Amen.
And to be in your boat?
Amen.
Jesus was helping them make a living. These fish were valuable. Well, he was just showing he was God. Do you think they just turned those fish loose? They sold them, put the money in their pocket. Jesus is still going about doing good. He's still on a mission to deliver people from bondage and to provide for them. He still knows where the fish are. Matthew 8:2. And a leper came to him and bowed down before him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. I hear people say that all the time. Well, if it's the will of God, I know he can make me clean. Well, let's see what he said. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. You know what he was doing? He was touching a leper. You're not supposed to do that. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. There's your answer. Never one time in the ministry of Jesus Christ did he say, I'm not willing. Find it. If you're going to teach it and preach it, find it. It's got to be in the Bible. You don't get to make up scripture.
Amen.
I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy, he just did that one time. Well, then he's a respecter of persons. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So yes, I'm willing. Jesus could have said no, but he didn't. He said, I am willing. He is still willing to heal us. Jesus was going everywhere, driving back darkness, driving back Satan's demonic deception and lies and stronghold and bondages in people's life. He was going everywhere, doing good and undoing the works of the devil, destroying works of evil and defeating the prince of the power of the air that's at work in disobedient people. Matthew 8, 6, a Roman soldier, a centurion. You might say at one point he was a pagan, so he certainly was probably part of the kingdom of Satan. All of us were at one time. Can you say amen? So he's a Roman soldier, centurion. Told Jesus about his paralyzed servant and saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion this time said, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. That's the kind of faith he had. Do you believe if you can get a word from God, you can be healed? Get you a word. As a matter of fact, I believe God is using some of these scriptures today to give you a word. Just recognize what it is and grab it and memorize it. Verse 10, now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. In other words, this pagan Roman has greater faith than the Jews. This man believed all he needed was a miracle, was a word from Jesus. He got the word and his servant was healed.
You've been listening to the Knoxville Christian Center podcast. Click subscribe so you don't miss Dr. Barry Culberson's weekly messages. For more information or to email a comment, head over to KnoxvilleChristianCTR.org. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a message. The Knoxville Christian Center, where everybody is somebody and Jesus is Lord.